So, in this week in racism, we had a good old Justin Bieber got a video leaked out on him, and Vice magazine is covering it and likes to let the world know that black people still love Justin Bieber, even though Justin Bieber, who has been known for hanging with the black community recently, he's been hanging, getting a little thuggish, if you will, hanging out with Lil Wayne and fucking Floyd Mayweather and with the kid Little Twist or whatever that'd be wrecking his cars and shit.
Yeah, Little Twist, and then I think he has some dude on Vine named King Fox or some bullshit. I didn't know how the fuck I was following him. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, he has a gang of little coons on his by his side.
Yeah, and recently, apparently, he also let, or a video leaked of him where he is using the word nigger, hard R, in the above clip inside this article, which was supplied by TMZ. Bieber modified his classic tune, One Less Lonely Girl, to have a slightly more ominous message. Biebs is not known to drop a ton of remixes, but when he does, you better believe it's going to have some racial slurs in it. This is wild. So, your take?
And honestly, you know what? I didn't even get to... I still didn't get to fucking listen to it. But I remember the biggest thing that had got me was kind of because I noticed, I started seeing all people, you know, back in like 50, and the biggest article I saw was a thing on for, and I don't know how the fuck I see US, Us Weekly and shit like that, but fucking Usher was on there, fucking, obviously that was his boy, that's the one who, you know, quote unquote discovered him, so I mean him kind of just backing him up. I mean, he was a kid though, he was 14 years old, I mean, motherfucker, I still talk out of my ass, I mean, and we see how kind of a little asshole he is now, so imagine a 14-year-old version of that, yeah. Probably just thought that shit was funny.
And my take on it, too, is the same thing. This goes back to Eminem when he got in the shit for the Black Bitch song that he put out when he was, like, 16. And I always say, like, if you knew everything every person said at the age of 16, you know, you'd have a different opinion about everybody. Sure. And so, like, I don't care that Justin Bieber, N-word, like, I really don't care, whatever. He's a rich, privileged, white kid. It doesn't surprise me that he would speak like that. But the thing that drives me nuts with this story is I don't understand why every nigga out there in the entertainment world feels it necessary to run out to his aid. And, oh, no, we still like him.
Well,
we still shooking and jiving and cooning for him. Hey, it's all right.
Okay with me, it's all right in my book.
It's all right with me, massa. It's okay.
That's that Justin Bieber money. You don't want to fuck with that. I kind of see that same shit with Chance the Rapper. Like, he was kind of known more for off the internet. You know, he had a good little buzz. But motherfucker, he got a future track on with Justin Bieber. Like, that's putting you out there. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason why fucking Luda was fucking talking about that star, Bugs. Because, you know, I mean, he didn't know at the time how big this fucker was going to be, but I mean, that's a bandwagon. You jump on that, you protect that shit.
And it's funny because the Young Money president, Mac Main, told TMZ that Bieber does not have a slave mentality. He's legitimately adopted the culture of the hip hop, African American culture, and treats people with respect. And I don't know. It's funny. It goes back to fucking slave times in a minstrel show and just like, oh man, no, it's okay, massa. And I don't see why all these niggas just feel it so necessary to go out their way and let the entertainment world know we're not mad at them, we still want to make money with them, it's okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, he all I know is Justin Bieber sucked the rat dick. He knows what's up, and we definitely don't want to push him off that horse. And I mean, he is hip hop if you think about it. He smokes weed, he fucks bad bitches. And, you know, has no regard for laws or what's it called? Or what is it, bedtimes? You know, just regardless, he just don't give a fuck. Niggas don't give a fuck, and he don't. And he wears oversized hats, and he walks around with the shirt off, and you know what I'm saying? He's hip-hop.
If that is not, unfortunately, the definition of hip-hop today.
That's what he is. So, of course, you're going to back his people. Come on now.
Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Verse. With me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papo.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm black. He's Mexican. Yes, and sir. Now that that is out of the way, welcome to our show. It is a podcast about nothing in particular. Before that, though, email us at ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, and YouTube by searching on Black He's Mexican. Like our Facebook fan page and all of our fan pages, and also head over to our website, ibhmpodcast.com, and find all of our links, our photo galleries, our video galleries, and all the articles, everything that we talk about on the show.
Yes.
You can leave us a voicemail at 480-426-0013. Let us hear your voice. Let us know what is on your mind.
Yeah. Help us, further us, talk shit to us, abuse us.
And you can follow me on my main source of social media fuckery, which is Tumblr. You can find me at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. And if you want to holla at my motherfucking dude, Soul Popo, his main source of social media fuckery is...
also on that Tumblr, soulpopo.tumblr.com.
Yes, sir. And we are motherfucking back 2 weeks in a row. I think we're back on the horse, man. We're riding into the sunset, just killing the game, man. That's what we're doing.
But make it with no, maybe ask this chap. But yeah, we're riding into the sunset. Real hard.
Billy the Kid and the Sundance, whatever the fuck. What was their name? What was the two outlaws?
And the Sundance Kid, I think.
Sundance Kid, yeah, that's that Southwest shit. What you know about that?
Oh. I started laughing, man, really quickly before we go further. Just how, you know, we in the paint. I saw this funny ass meme. I think it was Waka Flocka, and he's like, and I could just imagine him saying in whatever sort of Atlanta Southern style voice, and he's like, "I just downloaded Microsoft Paint." He's like, "Microsoft Paint," and he's like, "How do I get hard in this? How do I drip hard in it?" I forget. I done fucked it up, but you know what I'm trying to say. You know, you go harder than the paint. I'm
trying to go hard in the paint.
Over the Microsoft Paint. How do I go hard in this shit? And whatever, that was a lame attempt to be hip hop.
And I guess that's actually a good segue into our first article, which is Belle Knotts is scheduled to do a porn scene with the winners of her reality TV show. Apparently, the first trailer for the Sex Factor, the porn competition web series hosted by Duke porn star Belle Knotts, buries the juiciest part at the end. Apparently, not only will be a roster full of porn star judges and $1 million prize, but whoever the two winners are, they will get to do a professional shoot with motherfucking Belle Knotts herself, which I have never seen her porn, but sounds like one hell of a reality show, man.
Now, I haven't clicked on the video, but there's one bitch on the left. When you click on the link for that story, is that Belle Knotts?
Good question. I am throwing back in the image. I think so.
I should just click on it as well. I don't know who is who. Ooh. Oh, she looks like an annoying bitch. God, I really do want to see her get fucked. Just sitting. She just looks annoying. I just clicked on a second. I heard her voice like, ooh. The Lord blessed her with a resilient vagina so she can fucking take that damn pounding. So yeah.
I clicked over on images, and as I scroll through, I'm a little disappointed. I see a picture down a few rows, and she has no breasts at all. There's like no shape to her. I like a woman with a shape, something I can grab onto.
No, I want me a stick, so when I stick my dick, I can look like it don't fit.
Nice. Oh, shouts out to our motherfucking Philly correspondent, motherfucking Trav Lord, who said that Belle Knotts is decent. Shouts out. Also, since you may...
Ask Travy this, though. I mean, I don't know if you're typing him up. Does she swivel, though?
Does she swivel when she swallow? That's what we try to find out.
No. I don't know about the whole swallowing thing. I'm not too good about that. But when she's on the stick, does she swivel? Does she do the... I don't know. Does she ride the mechanical bull, so to speak?
Also, shout out to Trav Lord. He said, your haircut game is always on point. There you go.
Me? Me?
Yeah, he's talking to you.
Me?
I think he just made his day, Trav.
He decided out the damn time. Sends me fucking fucking semi-romantic fucking orgy-themed suicide music. And I don't know. He's trying to lure me out to the East Coast. But shouts out to Trav, bro.
So, motherfucking reality.
Are we still?
Oh no, I was gonna say, yeah, reality TV has come a long way from what was it? Real World is considered the first ever reality show. Yeah. Getting some strangers to live together and just experience life with people who have lived completely different than you. And
stop being real, or we can stop being fake and start being real.
Being real. And
the Chappelle Show, mad real.
Oh, and apparently she has a okay fuck game. She's okay. So
she's okay. Well, I guess. She looks annoying as fuck, and I think character goes a long way. When I say, like, kind of like how, and just for our audiences, we're gonna talk a lot about rape in the show. Looking at the bitch, she has one of those. Not, mind you, rape is bad. I would never rape anybody, but if anyone deserves a raping, it probably would be her, because she looks like she's the mean bitch. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure if I saw her at a fucking Starbucks or she walked into Verizon to fucking get a phone, she's just gonna be a mean cunt, and probably people would just, I don't know. I can see why she's, dude, that's what she does.
She looks like if she was from Arizona, she'd probably be from Scottsdale. I get Scottsdale definitely. Vibe from her.
She's a Scottsdale bitch for sure.
And it's funny because I'm scrolling through down to the Real America, which is where the comment section is. And it's funny just the shit that people talk about. Like somebody put a comment and said, if the purpose of sets is to create an expressive work, i.e. a porn movie, then the activity comes within the protection of the First Amendment. So he was getting deep about that, man. He feels passionate about this. Yeah, I can't call it.
I take my fucking seriously. Now I'm looking at it more and just I would want to give that bitch a hurting. I mean, give it the squirting. And you know what's so for the fact that it's gonna be on fucking TV, man. That just lets you know what we're allowing. You know what I'm saying? The fucking the depths of us not giving a fuck. We become so not what's the word? Not immune. But what is it like when we're so like kind of how a video game?
It's the fucking word. Desensitization of the nation, if you will. It's just like if like after you've seen something, be it horrible or be it a little jarring, if you will, after you've seen it so many times, you become desensitized to it.
Desensitized.
And so, yeah, you could push it further and further after that. Because it's just like if this was the first ever reality TV show, like people would be screaming from the rooftops, you can't do this. But after having the Real World and all these other shows and Bad Girls Club and the rise of the fuckery, if you will, it's only right that we get to a reality show about fucking.
It's about time. Cause honestly, I don't want no love. I don't want emotion. I just want to hurry up, fucking pop my shit. Hurt myself, go raw with no fucking lotion, so I know I can fucking start chafing, and then fucking close my goddamn laptop and be done with it and go about my day. Maybe play some video games. Maybe get something to eat because then I'm tired and I'm hungry.
Fuck, or maybe hold or hang out with your emotional robot. That's a possibility. And if you lived in Japan, you would be able to do that. Yeah.
And that was one of the stories that really got me, because in the real, like, it I don't know if you've seen the movie Her. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. it's the sort of thing, because we are so immune to fucking, to emotionless shit. We do see fucking as just fucking itself and not actually making love and connecting, you know, souls. We just kind of see it making the beast of two backs and then being done with the demon and just kind of letting it go. Like I said, I take my love making for real. I'm a passion. But anyways, but that gets lost, you know what I'm saying? We really don't give a fuck. So the fact that we got the Japanese company SoftBank, which I think is so fucking hilarious of a name, SoftBank, like it's more of an internet and telecommunications company. They're really making a robot that's designed to read and respond to the user's mood. And they're saying that it's going to be something that's, you know, kind of geared towards more people that are kind of sick or, you know, dying or what have you. But you know it's going to be for those lonely motherfucking cat people or just, I mean... Yeah. This is essentially the new pet.
This is essentially this could be the world's first robotic pet, if you will. I can see this, like the next paragraph says, people may look back 100 years later or 200 years later and say that this was a historic moment we were having today. And as silly as some people may take that, that's a reality. With technology growing the way it's growing, I wouldn't be surprised if 100 years from now there are people who are out walking their robot pet and they will look back to 2014 and be like, that's when it started. Similar to like cats first became a domestic creature during the Egyptian times. The Egyptians brought in cats and domesticated them, and hunter-gatherers took wolves and domesticated them, and that's how they became, you know, pets. And so it's only right somebody makes an emotional fucking robot, and now this is the new pet that humans will get to play with.
And it was about time, because I know there was a Japanese company a few years back that already made the fucking sex doll robots that make the noise and all that, you know, fleshy bullshit. But this is actually something that could read your emotions, something that I don't know how the hell is going to pertain to sarcasm and shit like that, because I think my fucking, if I had one of those robots, this motherfucker would never believe me. You fucking have to be like, if it can make faces, just be like, bro.
The fuck?
I don't know whether if he's being serious or if he's about to kill himself.
And this is kind of creepy because this thing, which they've named the SoftBank company named Pepper, he stands 4 feet tall and weighs 62 pounds. Now, the only thing.
Anime cartoon.
The only thing I could think of, because I grew up, I'm a movie buff. I've watched a lot of movies in my life, and my mom loved her to death. But as a kid, she let me watch a lot of horror movies, so my imagination runs wild with shit like this. And I remember being a child and being terrified of Chucky. And looking at this little motherfucker being 4 feet tall, 52 pounds of robotic flesh, if this motherfucker flips like Chucky, who gonna stop him?
Yo. And then he could just play it off like, it's just a machine. What can a little doll do? Motherfucker, I seen Short Circuit. I know what happens, and I never trusted Chuck, and I don't trust the goddamn Short Circuit and fucking something number five.
I work in the technology field, and I know technology does not always work the way that it's supposed to. So, once again, this is the beginning of iRobot. Welcome to the future.
And honestly, too, one thing that kind of not to go into crazy conspiracy sort of shits, but if these fuckers do develop what we consider emotion, even though it's just artificial intelligence, will their feelings and fucking functions be valid as life? I mean, shit, if we can constitute life, the, you know what I'm saying, within I don't know how many trimesters being in a bitch's womb, like, can a fucking roto, I mean, who the hell knows if they're just that, but can you imagine though? Goddamn.
Eventually it will have to get to that, because imagine, okay, you have a robot with emotions, and so eventually it's going to feel like it needs to be equal within the world. And so then, of course, you're going to have some people standing up for robotic rights, and they have emotions and all that. And then eventually we're going to get to the point, though.
Once the gays get bored, they're going to jump right on that back. I already know. But keep going, my bad.
Fucking, we'll eventually get to a point where I think this is a part of evolution. We, you know, it was a fucking microorganism going through the water, and then that became a creature that crawled onto land, which turned into a monkey, which turned into man and, technology is merging. We have smartphones. Is this not an extension of your brain? Is this not my memory and my photos and my life and all that? And then eventually you merge the two and you eventually become robots, and that's the evolution of Earth. So 120 years from now, humans will be these things, pets. That's where my brain takes it.
Yeah, and kind of just to end up on the note, I'm not too sure if we should bring up that documentary we were talking about a bit earlier ago, but the way that we kind of communicate, the fact that we're on social media the way that we are, whether we not knowing it, they know everything about us. So if you think about it, like, they're going to know exactly what to say if we're down. You know what I'm saying? I can just imagine my robots going to be like, Bopple, cheer up, buddy. I have white, blonde, dyke, bulimic bitches on your bookmarks. Pull it right up for you. Would that make you feel better? And actually, that doll has like a little iPad looking shit on its chest. You know what I'm saying? I'm being real, like, oh, looking, I'm being all, emo one day, just pulls up fucking white, blonde bitches being hammered, and I'm like, you okay, Papu? You alright?
And this fucking thing fucking says that feedback is uploaded to cloud storage, where it can be used by other units to modify the way they behave. The robots will tailor their interactions with users based on what mood they perceive. So then these fucking robots, similar to Facebook, the way it gobbles up all of our information, and how Google, you know, could see us as we go from website to website, a custom tailor gives you ads depending on, oh, you just looked at a wallet on Amazon, so now you're on ESPN.com, and hey, by the way, we sell these kind of wallets. And so then eventually you could upload that into the fucking cloud of these robots, and they will know any and everything that you fucking do, think, and how you're going to react, and then they can share that with others within their robotic beehive community, and this is Apocalypse Now. That's all I'm hearing right now is Apocalypse Now.
Fucking me. And we go into a goddamn convenience store. You have your fucking little iRobot witch, and he's gonna flag to the fucking convenience store. This nigga's gonna do some shit. Let's stop him right now. Stop him right goddamn now. Take snapshot. Fucking do it.
Keep your eye on this nigga, similar to the way Slow Bucks should have kept his eye on 50 Cent and the G-Unit reunion at motherfucking Summer Jam. Goddamn.
So is everybody gonna fucking be there? Cause in honesty, like, I know there was beef with fucking with Banks and him not doing his part. Yayo's been a good, loyal little lapdog. I mean.
Now, it actually already happened. Summer Jam was, I guess, last weekend. Okay. And 50 Cent and G-Unit reunited, and they basically said that they got a new album coming out in November. They performed one of my favorite G-Unit records of all time, I Smell Pussy. So classic. That's when 50 was fucking on it. But and Ja Rule took offense to that and called out 50 on Twitter, which means that beef is back on, which is like...
Really?
Yeah, they're back beefing, I guess. Ja Rule
is relevant too. So I started laughing really quick, man. I forget what fucking video. Some no name motherfucker was at some bar. Cat Noriega, Ja Rule was there too. He's talking about, yeah, I'm gonna have me a book coming soon. I don't keep up with VH1. He apparently has a reality show or some shit.
He's supposed to be working on like two new projects or something like that. And the production of it, they're filming like a reality show. And I guess it'll end with the projects coming out or something. Yeah, they're documenting and filming it as a reality show as he tries to get relevant again.
But honestly, I never hated him. Once the beef happened, I mean, please believe, I pick sides. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. It'd be good if I can see him come back. I mean, shit, actually, since we're talking about Fifth, you reminded me of his album dropping. I was so fucking surprised. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe him squash it with Ja Rule, maybe possibly. I mean, even though this beast shit's happening, one thing that I thought I'd never see the light of day was 50 do a song with Styles P and do a song with fucking Jadakiss.
Yeah, I mean, that beat was real back in the day. That shit, them niggas did not like each other. That was a real beat. Yeah.
So, I mean, since we're on it, what'd you think of the album? I mean,
I thought it was
cool. Let it go.
No, yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, the same thing. I give it like 3.5 stars, almost 4. I got to check it out.
Out of five.
5-star rating. I give it about 3.5, maybe a low 4. Cause I like been talking about, I've been back at, you know, at the gym, and I've tried to listen to podcasts at the gym. I gotta listen to music at the gym, cause I gotta get crunk and I gotta do this, you know, when I got the 10-pound weights, I gotta do the 2-chain dance with them.
Them 10-pound weights will do some damage. Motherfuckers talk shit. Yeah. Those swivel.
If you doing it the right way, them 10-pound weight, yeah, you feel it. You feel the burn.
I don't be at the club, so that's my only little bit of times I can ever, you know, do little movements like this.
I'd be like, turned down for what at the gym? That's what I do now. And I got to listen to it, and yeah, it was decent, man. I guess the background story for it too was it was supposed to be a mixtape, but then 50 was so happy with the quality that he figured he put it out as retail. And I thought it was worth it, and I thought he had some real good songs. I think if 50 was still relevant and as big as he used to be, the song Smoke with Trey Songz, I think that would be a hit right now. I thought Smoke, it's
that was,
like
a, that was good. That's a good feature. Definitely used them for what it was worth.
Yeah.
Sure. My favorite track on there was actually another part for people who don't know. There's a deluxe version similar to, I guess, fucking Yonsei's album. He has a video for every track.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he has a fucking video for every track, so that's really cool because you can tell he invested in it. I guess he really fucks hard with this guy Ervis Rodriguez, some kind of Spanish sounding name.
Okay.
Pretty much exclusively directed the whole fucking album from what I noticed. But the title track though, The Animal's Ambition, to me was one of the doper songs. I think I kind of gave him more credibility because he had two really bad bitches in the videos. One was a Latinita, the other one was a fucking Guerita, who I'm pretty sure was fucking Latina.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that mind you, he has his own set of money, you know, he's definitely well established, but the fact that he hasn't had strong sales in albums, he really invests a lot in his product. I think production wise, it was more chilled back. But really, that's all you need. You don't need a busy ass beat when you got 50 on it. Like.
I like 50 because it sounds like this is like the direction his music has been going recently. I like the dark little bit of samples in the background, but more the dark tone of the beats with him doing what he does on top of it. Like, I like the direction the music is going. He is 50. He's never going to be a lyrical wordsmith that's just going to dazzle you with his wordplay. But for what 50 does, I think he's evolving with at least the type of beats that he picked. And I know it was one of the records I can't think of off the top of my head, but might have been Pilot, or it might have been Don't Worry About It with Yo Gotti. But it was one of those beats when it came on, I was like, 50, 10 years ago, would not have hopped on a beat like this. It was just kind of an out there experimental beat. And I was like, give it for 50 for switching it up and, you know, going a different direction. So I think it's worth checking out. So
And I guess just to end off, his singles were Hold On and fucking Pilot. Like, it brings you back to the, okay, this is 50. Truly, yeah. I think that's one of the, no better name for his website. This is 50.
This is 50.
You know what I'm saying? So good shit for that. And I think that I just sent out to you earlier, and kind of an homage to Angelina Jolie. You know what I'm saying? The one, the baddest bitch in the world, the one all the dykes love and all the fellas wouldn't deny. He did a parody of is it Magnificent? Is that how you say that?
Yeah, I think Magnificent. Or
some shit, but pretty much I remember that. I saw some girl on IG. She had a picture of 50 wearing the fucking hat. I'm thinking that someone photoshopped that shit.
Yeah.
And he had did it as a plug when he was on the Jimmy Kimmel show, just parody his shit. Relevant movie, definitely did fucking strong in fucking the box office. And I mean, 50's in the name.
I think it was brilliant, the fucking line when he came through the woods or whatever. It was like, I've been shot 9 times, I ain't scared of no white girl. Like, that was my favorite fucking part. Like, I like 50. I like that he's a gangster, if you will, but he's like a approachable gangster. That's his character, is an approachable gangster. Like, other rappers, you know, been shot 9 times, you can't bring them on Jimmy Kimmel. Them niggas is crazy. They a little too hood. They bring too many hood rats and hood wolves with them when they come to the motherfucking shows. 50 will take the dark side of his street life that he, you know, experienced growing up, and he kind of turns shit, you know, flips it around and makes humor, makes little of it or whatever. I fucks with 50. I'm glad to see him back. I'm glad to see him back working. I'm glad to see that he recovered from that fucking baseball pitch he threw, which was the worst in history. Like
George Bush, you said, fucking out through his ass?
Yeah, there was a picture up on Reddit, and they had it was just a straight picture, and it was showing like the point of view from the pitcher looking to the catcher, and it was showing dots where like different celebrities had thrown the ball before, and they had like Barack Obama and Bush on there, Kim Kardashian. They had some fake fantasy characters like Cookie Monster had thrown a first pitch before, and they were showing like position wise where each one of them was, and 50 Cent was way the fuck far off. So he has thrown, it was the worst first pitch in the history of baseball. And shout out to 50. I guess he should have said, hey, I got shot 9 times, my fucking hand-eye coordination is a little off. That's what I would have said.
Yeah, I'm looking, I don't got a lazy ad right now. I'm fucking so pumped. What else I'm gonna say too, I'm glad about the unit thing kind of coming back together, because one thing I noticed in the videos, he is one lonely motherfucker. Like, he has just these random fucking people as entourages, and I'm like, you need you in it back. Because bring this fucking kid from Louisiana, he ain't a good fit. Like, I don't know.
And I am happy to see the unit back, and I want to see what the CD sounds like. You know, that's kind of the thing always with music. You know, fuck the publicity stunts, like the whole thing with Slow Bucks. For those who don't know, apparently when 50 and his entourage got up on stage, some guy by the name of Slow Bucks was in the back, and I guess somebody got robbed, or he got robbed, and so now 50 is under investigation over the chain robbery, and the dude is basically suing and getting the law involved, and everyone's like, was it a publicity stunt by 50? Because, you know, 50 always got to have some kind of beef going into, and now all of a sudden some nigga get robbed when 50's on stage. You never know. It might be
2003. Young fuck don't got a knife and he's trying to protect the fucking the word of the Dr. Dre. Like, there ain't no shanking shit happening. But, you know, he is really good at his fucking publicity, though. I will say. Remember the bet he had with Kanye, whoever was gonna outsell, he was gonna retire. I mean, that shit was a flop. But
yeah.
But speaking of music, though, fucking, I saw you had something on there. Kendrick's working with somebody special?
Oh, motherfucking King Kendrick is back in the studio working on his upcoming new album, which all of us Kendrick stans are happy about. Fucking just going off of his commercial releases, if you will. Section 80, in my opinion, 5 stars, classic.
Fuck yeah.
Good Kid, Mad City, 5 stars, another classic. So now he has a lot going on because he has essentially 2 classics back to back, and he's getting ready to drop this new Nets 3rd one. It's technically his mainstream sophomore set, but to me, Good Kid, Mad City was a sophomore set because, you know, Section 8 was released commercially, but it was more independent.
Major league-wise, oh, this is going to be a sophomore album. And we'll see if King Kendrick, who I believe to be the king, is going to surpass the old sophomore slump shit. So let's
And
my bad. So who the fuck's he working with?
Oh, no, you good. And apparently he's working real hard, and one of the people who is supposedly in the studio with him, according to allhiphop.com rumors, Kendrick Lamar is in the studio with motherfucking Stevie Wonder, Michelle Amore, Stevie Wonder, and apparently Kendrick had visited Africa, and the spirit of the motherland spoke to him when he was there. This caused him to write a song that he felt Stevie Wonder should be on. They say seems like Kendrick has a good relationship to Dougie Fresh, one of the official legends of hip hop. Doug got Kendrick put in touch with Stevie Wonder, and the rest is history. And the song is expected to be on Kendrick Lamar's next album. So if that does come to light, like, I can't wait for that motherfucker. Hot damn.
I'm curious to see how he's going to use him. Because I know one thing that kind of the quote-unquote queen of hip-hop, when people use Mary J. Blige, they use the same way every time. Yeah. And it kind of became one of those, like, ah, shit, she's on here. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, we haven't heard from fucking from Stevie in a minute besides fucking blind jokes. I mean, we haven't heard of him in a long time. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see how they're going to use him. And obviously, I mean, come on now. It's King Ken. So, we're going to see I'm sure.
I'm excited too because, and like you had said too, I hate when people go out and they get, like you said, Mary J. Blige, for instance, and then they use her the same way everybody else did. Same thing with like a Trey Songz in the Future. Like, you just go out there, get them to do the same thing everyone else has done. And
except
back when
he fucked up when he tried to use Trey Songz, he didn't use them. Yeah, but anyways.
But back when I was doing music and all that, you know, back on my grind and, you know, out there doing the local tour, if you will, I had always said if I blew up, shuated, the one person in particular I wanted to work with, which is probably surprising to a lot of people, would be Christina Aguilera. And I wanted to work with Christina Aguilera, but I wanted to fuck all that pop shit. She has soul, and I wanted to flip
so
her and do a soul type.
Christina Aguilera. No, but back to basics, Christina Aguilera?
I'm talking a Christina that no one had heard. I wanted to bring that soul out of her, like similar to like you got a Kanye West type track.
You
with
soul to I wanted to see if she'd fucking sing on a track. That's what I would have to do.
And so it was one of those things. It was like anybody could use Christina Aguilera and have her do the same thing that she's done 1,000 times before. Have her do something different. Have her change the game or whatever. I would love to see some type of hip-hop artist to be able to reach out and do a record with Pink. And I would love to see Pink flip it and do it R&B style like she did when she had first came out.
I would bitch have Pink Karen look like a goddamn dyke. Oh, those
good days. Oh, the good days. Pink, yes.
Yeah, fucking... I guess the one who's seen some better days, man, are fucking our... And I guess we could say he's hip-hop because he's black and he has an entourage, but I definitely think he was a funny guy. Like, his ignorance, to me, is comical, is character-based, maybe. I don't know if I should go that much credit, but like, what happened with Tracy Morgan, y'all?
Yeah, and this shit was crazy because I got the MSNBC app on my phone, and I got it set where every day it sends me X amount of alerts, and just so I could, you know, keep up with what's going on in the world and the mainstream, if you will. And I got up this morning to go to work, and I got a fucking notification from NBC saying that Tracy Morgan is it got critically hurt in New Jersey in a turnpike crash. Apparently, he's in intensive... What's up?
Come on, brother. I'm just talking shit. I'm like, oh, and Jay-Z.
He fucking, apparently Tracy Morgan is in intensive care following a 6-vehicle crash along the New Jersey Turnpike that left one person dead and at least 2 others seriously injured. Apparently, him and a couple other comedians, they were in a limo that was driving or traveling north at 1 a.m. on a Saturday when a Walmart tractor trailer struck the limo bus, causing it to overturn, and it hit a bunch of other cars. Fucking Tracy Morgan had to be airlifted. He's in critical condition in ICU. Shouts out to that brother. Hope he pulls through and like and recovers and could get back to doing what the fuck everybody, you know, loves him for doing, you know, getting back out there. And yeah, I just hope he's all right. So
when I found out about it, I was on IG, and I'm a big Kevin Smith fan, and I didn't even know that actually I think they knew each other, because Kevin Smith did a movie with Bruce Willis, and then it was some kind of buddy cop movie. I forget what it was called. It was called Cops, I think, or Cop Movie,
so.
Or some shit. Anyways,
something, yeah.
And I was like, what? I'm like, is this like an RIP message? And then, you know what I'm saying? Sure, shit, they have the whole story. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, oh, definitely I'll be pulled through. I kind of laugh in a way that how you got the alert on this, because on the 30 Rock episode, what's his name? Alec Baldwin. He comes in tripping one day saying, what did Tracy do? What did Tracy do? And fucking, and they're like, wow, what are you saying? I get a Google alert message every time the words Tracy Morgan and disaster happens. What did he do this time? And I was like, holy fuck. So it's one of those fucking funny ass fucking ironies. That's exactly how you got the fucking update.
And actually, shouts out to fucking 30 Rock. I just started the series for the first time on Netflix a couple weeks ago. I'm about 3 or 4 episodes into it. And a lot of it.
There's a lot of seasons, brother. Don't cram it all in at once, bro.
Oh, no, I'm not rushing it. Yeah. This is my year project, is to be done with the series by the end of the year. So I'm gonna take a few months on this one. But fucking this Childish Gambino stand in me is what made me want to check out 30 Rock, since he used to be a writer on 30 Rock. And I was like, let me go ahead and get a shit a chance, because I didn't have any other series to watch. And what was up?
Oh, no, I was gonna say, because he has a few cameos in it from time to time. And one of my other favorite writers, comedians, who's real just chillax, he's Hannibal Buress, I think is his name.
Oh, Hannibal Buress.
Buress, my bad.
Yeah.
And he's a writer. He kind of occasionally makes little cameos, but kind of just and the comedy, as you will, of for Tracy Morgan and Driving. You have to be careful. You don't know what's on the road. You don't know what can happen. You must be alert at all times. And sometimes motherfuckers be carrying dead bodies with them. What was up with that shit with his girlfriend? What was going on?
And this is wild, and especially wild, and also kind of not too surprising that coming from Arizona, a man drove 1,900 miles with his dead girlfriend riding shotgun in the van. Now, the story had kind of buzzed around a little bit. I hadn't too much paid attention to it, but it caught my attention, and so I finally sat down to read it today, and like, I don't know how to process this. I don't know if this was just him being a dumbass, or if this was him being malicious, or I can't wrap my brain around this, but apparently he was set to make a trip from Arizona to Michigan, and police say that this Detroit area man, identified in the news report as Ray Tomlinson, and his 92-year-old mother apparently spent winters in Arizona and were heading back home this week. Now, the man is 62, and he had picked up his alleged 31-year-old girlfriend from a Phoenix area mental health facility on Sunday. She was riding shotgun, and his mother was in a wheelchair in the back of the van, and they had 1,900 miles ahead of them. Somewhere along the way, though, apparently in New Mexico or something, he nudged his girlfriend and was like, I just said, you know, you want something? And at which point she was stiff, and there wasn't any jerking or moans or groans or cries for help or anything. She just like fell asleep. So they, I guess, didn't think of nothing. She has a substance abuse problem and possibly took oxycodone during a pit stop in Flagstaff, and she died in the passenger seat. Now, what makes the story get so strange is that the dude didn't stop. He didn't call for help. He checked the internet on his phone to find out what to do with a dead body. And he found out that he had 48 hours to get to a morgue. So he drove, being scared that he was going to be in some trouble, and continued his drive to get her to Michigan to get her to a morgue. And he later said that there's no crime there. It's not illegal to carry a body across country. So he doesn't see what he did wrong. So I don't know if this is the case of him being a dumbass and just like, oh man, well, 48 hours, I'm not too bright. Let's just go ahead and get her. Like, I don't know.
Well, not that I would make any excuses for such fucking retardation, but hey, nigga, we got a schedule to keep. You know what I'm saying? And technically, from what the Google just told me, and who doesn't believe Google, because Google helps us all, and of course, you know what I'm saying? The government has us locked in for a reason. We should listen. So, fuck, he really want to make us now. But then again, if you think about it too, if you had to be somewhere, like, imagine just being fucked in a state that you ain't supposed to be chilling in. The way I would kind of see it is like, fuck, even if I did do something, I'd be like, well, fuck, if I'm going to get arrested somewhere, I might as well make it to where I work, and also got to make this court appearance, because you figure, I don't know if you ever got speeding tickets in other counties or the shit like that, you got to go to court usually at that motherfucking place, yeah. So Lord forbid some shit happens in another state, I do not have the money to be traveling just to fucking make it, maybe I'm looking too deeply into it, but what the fuck.
Let me get a little closer to home, but I know I would understand the situation. me being a black man, like, I could see the scenario playing out if you were a brother who had a white chick in your passenger seat and you just so happened to be driving through the South and she mysteriously died, and I could see a reason to want to get the fuck out the South because they gonna think that this nigga did something to this pretty little young white girl, and then so you want to get the fuck out of that area to get like, to
they gonna hang me for this,
they gonna hang me,
I better get home.
Yeah, let me get back home. I can understand that situation. This is a white man. All of America is your home. I don't know why you felt threatened. Like, he should have called the cops, because now it really makes him look like he was guilty. Like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And then,
oh, he wasn't a brother though.
No, it was I'm assuming it was a white person, because this sounds like some white people.
I read that he was from Michigan. I assumed he was black. No.
That's actually a good question.
I don't know. Maybe.
Let's see, I'm a Google him. I'm gonna see if we could bring up his race. Go ahead and guess the race, people.
Go ahead and tag in too.
Oh no, unless there's another Ray Tomlinson who's like famous or something. This is a white dude.
I mean, that's probably it. Because honestly, I think we would have read something about that. Honestly, I think it would have been thrown out there. A black man goes, yeah. That's
now this nigga had the nerve. Oh yeah, this is definitely a white dude. It definitely would have been all kinds of niggas and Fox News.
They would have been bigger than that.
So, shouts out to white people. Y'all some funny motherfuckers. And speaking of funny motherfuckers, I saw this article and I didn't even really kind of know how to take it, and so I figured I'd do my first response to it while we're online. An Indian minister had came out and said that rape is sometimes wrong and sometimes right, and apparently this quote came from him talking about a renewed outrage among rampant sexual assault in that country. Now, I'm not an expert. I don't follow a lot of world news events or whatever, but I do know that there's some shit going on in India with a lot of rape going on. Apparently, back in May 26th, there was a gang rape and murder of two teenage girls in the north of the country. And this guy, which I know I'm gonna murder his fucking name, but Babula Gara, who is the home minister of some state, was quoted saying in the Hindustan Times that this is a social crime which depends on men and women. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. Until there's a complaint, nothing can happen. So what is your thoughts on rape sometimes being right, sometimes it's wrong? Sometimes you just gotta rape a bitch, I guess, according to this.
Rape a bitch. I mean, if Wayne Brady said that, then I would feel secure in that. But I mean, rape is always wrong. Rape is bad, okay? Rape is bad. I like being in when engaging in coitus to kind of take the domineering role as if I am raping, but rape is technically bad. That's never a good thing. But it was so funny, or fucked up funny, I guess, out in the eastern states, fucking out in the east, like, you know, Afghanistan, what have you, they will straight up, like, if someone was shamed, like, yeah, like, they will straight up fucking rape a bitch in the streets. Everyone will fucking tag in, fucking in front of the goddamn parents. And then, and usually the father being ashamed that his fucking kid, you know, was fucking raped in the fucking streets in front of fucking everyone, from the congregation and, you know, everyone else, they will then kill them. So, I guess for, And sometimes what's so fucked up is that they'll side with them too. Like, obviously you did something wrong to fucking to be raped, so you must have been out there being a little floozy.
That's like the whole thing out, and I'm not a fucking expert advocate in them, or no, I'm not an expert in Middle Eastern culture, if you will, but that's supposedly part of the whole reasoning behind Middle Eastern women only being able to show their eyes, because if a man out there cheats and, you know, cheats on his wife with a woman, it was that woman's fault for being so appealing. Like, it's not the guy's fault, it's her fault. Bitch, why'd you look so good? It's your fault why he put that thing on you. And it's just crazy how
bitch showed me her shins and I was a lord.
Oh, I couldn't stop myself. But
and it's just usually the eyes that get me. So if anything, I mean, I'm just gonna be triggered whichever which way.
But. And that's the thing that kills me too, because that's the thing that gets me is the motherfucking eyes. And so it don't matter. Like, I see them eyes over there, be like, oh bitch, I like how you look.
They look regardless.
Hey, you know they say windows is the eyes to the soul. I'm just trying to get
the eyes of the
you.
Windows of that.
All that shit.
I don't fucking know. Some shit like that feels you, brother. That feels you. I mean. Fucking A, man. Yeah, rape's never a good thing, right? I mean, but I guess, you know, we live here in the States where we're quite prudish. You know, we're barely getting porn on reality TV, so, you know, we're barely evolving. I'm pretty sure we'll get to Sodom and Gomorrah levels in no time. But fucking speaking of fucking rape and bullshit and like that, fucking HBO fucking named, and I still haven't fucked with the show only because I'm not too thrilled to fucking see butt sex. Fucking Game of Thrones became the most popular series in fucking HBO history. Now, to me, I always kind of was under the impression that fucking that's The Sopranos, that was the biggest fucking show. I remember the finale was such a big fucking deal, even though it was a big downer. I was let down by Dexter too. Fucking bag of ass ending. Anyways, yeah, fucking, but for my understanding, there's a, and that's the only reason I didn't watch that, because the nigga don't got fucking HBO, even though I got that Hulu. Fucking, I guess I could peep it out, but yeah, and I always see Game of Thrones because I think of 300 and fucking Greek shit. I just think of it as ass fucking. You know what I'm saying? Real cool, real strong, real action-y. But I started thinking about the ass fucking. I'm like, nah, you know. They show some titties from occasion. And Lord knows, like, bulimic small little titties. But I'm like, no, I'm going to pass. Because I might see some butt sex. I might be in the middle of hurt abusing myself. And I don't want to catch myself.
You might be sitting there jerking off. And then the second they switch to the butt sex is when you get ready. Cause No.
I saw it. And I came. I'm gay. Oh, fuck. I'm going to kill myself now.
And it's crazy too, because like at my gig that I'm currently at, that's part of the reason why I do love working up there, is for the first time I work with a whole bunch of people who are as nerdy as I am, and many of them way nerdier than me. I was always the nerd at every job that I worked at. I'm more of the casual guy here. It's a lot deeper nerdism going on up there. But a bunch of the people watched
some Trekkie fucking escalations.
Oh yeah, there's some Trekkie people. My the woman that trained me back in
I want to go now.
She trained us, my training class was back in the middle of January, and she took time off, which rounded out to this week, to go to Comic-Con. Like, she put it in 6 months in advance that she was going to be at Comic-Con and I will not be at work this day. And it's crazy because I didn't even read exactly what happened, but Comic-Con got shut down out here. Something happened that first day. And I'm not that super close with her to hit her up and be like, oh my god, what happened? But Phoenix Comic
Con, I'm sorry, keep going.
Oh no, you good. I was just gonna say that Phoenix Comic Con is set to have 70,000 people at this year's event. I'm trying to see exactly what happened.
Wait,
which
in San Diego, Phoenix. You know it's in Phoenix.
The one out here in Phoenix. Yeah, and yeah, it got shut down that first day. I'm trying to see what the fuck happened.
Yo, all I know is I think I was on my first break at work on Friday, and I fucking saw that they were here, and I totally spaced out they were gonna fucking be here. And dude, all I know is I saw this one bitch that I hate, and you know how I be hating. And I saw her fucking post some shit at Comic-Con. I'm like, son of a bitch, I wanted to just walk out of fucking work, but you know, nigga be broke, so I had to fucking stay there. But God, was I upset. And then also, kind of don't the dorkiness while you look up the information, Kevin Smith, who once again, one of my favorite fucking writer, directors, whatever, geeks of all trades, he's going to do his podcast tonight at Stand Up Live downtown. You had a ticket to Comic-Con, you had a fucking free pass to go in and see the goddamn podcast.
How ill is that? Oh, that's so ill.
Yeah.
But Comic-Con is actually pretty dope. Now, I couldn't find out what happened, but Comic-Con is dope. I got to check it out for the first time a year or two ago. Or actually, it was probably last year. Yeah, it was the one last year. And that was my first time checking out Comic-Con. And one thing that I will say is I dig that cosplay shit, man. The chicks who dressing up as the video game chicks, like, oh, son, if I was single, oh.
Let me tell you something. Fucking in the words of G. Karen, let me tell you something. Two things I would want to go dressed up as. And now, mind you, I would definitely need to be, I need to get back to, because at a point, you know, and this is, you didn't see me at this point, Verse, but, you know what I'm saying? 'Cause I was a bit bigger. Yeah. I want to say I got onto some Greek god sort of fucking, at least it felt like to me. If I'm up like 380 pounds, when you make it down to 2, you feel pretty goddamn sexy anyways. And which, you know what I'm saying, it's so hard to get back to, you know what I'm saying, goddamn. And then those burritos. Anyways, I would want to be able to get back on my shit so I can go to Comic-Con so that, I can go dressed up as, I don't know, it used to be an NES game. I'm not too sure if the shit's too fucking far in this.
Called a blob?
Boy in his blob. Pretty much, I gotta get my legs on point so I can rock these little ass shorts. So you can see the cheekage. And fucking in this little cute little fucking designer leather pouch, fucking, I don't know why I would go dress as that. And then of course, you know what I'm saying, boy would need a bad bitch to kind of go dress up as this bitch right here. Fuck, her name is Solange, and apparently she does really good kicking in this game. I'm kidding, no, she doesn't kick, she actually shoots. But I would have to be accompanied with a bad bitch like that in order to make an appearance or cameo at Comic-Con, because I can't go any less, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I don't go.
I gotta figure out a way to dress up like motherfucking Seth Roth, and then get motherfucking Skips to dress up like Ares, and we go do this motherfucking Comic-Con thing. That's what I'm trying to do. That's all I'm saying.
I want them visits. Them conjugal visits.
And it's funny because... Oh, what's up?
No. What were you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say real quick about the Game of Thrones thing. That's crazy. I was just looking at their gross audience is at like 18.2 million per episode. Like, god damn. Like, I bet advertising costs a motherfucker to get your fuck. Oh no, I guess it's on HBO. It doesn't have commercials, right?
No, well, no, but I mean, and I wonder too, how does a show that doesn't have, I would imagine they don't have product placing, considering how fucking they're in ancient times or fucking days of back in the day. So I mean, I'm pretty sure this is where the Illuminati influence comes in. You know what I'm saying? Tells them by sex.
And shouts out to motherfucking Trav Lore, because he got some motherfucking pitches. He kicking over to me some cosplay. Oh. This first one, I don't give a fuck if the ass is shopped. This is actually, you know what? I think I could do a screenshot. Let me see if I can flip this over.
And I guess really quick, this is a relation with the cosplay. For motherfuckers who are fans of Nintendo. Ooh, what the hell is that? That is a lie. That is a lie.
That's that ass. I think there was another one on here too. Hold on.
The sexiest cosplay that I've seen, though, man, and I'm not even a big Square Enix fan. Holy crap! That is ridiculous. Oh. The best cosplay I've seen is bitches who do Final Fantasy, or who do, obviously anime is the biggest thing, but that could be a man probably fucking. No, that's just a fat man. That's a fat little man dressing up as an Asian.
Yo, you can't fucking tell nowadays. We've proven that time and time again on this show that you can't fucking tell anymore. And
haven't been bamboozled.
You might go out to the club, pick up a hot little chick, and then you get down to the motherfucking nitty gritty, and next thing you know, you're having anal sex like some woman tried to let her children participate in, which is the case of what the fuck news.
Yeah, what the hell, dude? Do you know what their relations were? Because apparently, this woman took two kids to a convicted murderer's fucking visit.
The story, according to NBC, is that this woman is being convicted of letting a convicted killer molest her children. This Pennsylvania woman has been sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison for taking two children to a state prison so they could be molested by a convicted killer. The 42-year-old Rebecca Ann Butler of Danville was sentenced on Friday, and say that she brought the girls to the state correctional institution at a retreat for several years, starting when they were four.
There were girls, though.
The little girls, yeah. And this guy is serving life, and apparently she is at least being convicted of two counts of child endangerment and conspiracy to allow indecent assault of a child. And so I don't know, like, if that is the case or if she was just...
How can they prove this, though?
I don't know. Like, and what I'm trying to figure out, like, and maybe I don't fuck with jails too much, but how does a convicted killer get conjugal visits with little girls? Like, do they go... another article I can't wrap my brain around. Like, how did this guy and these girls get together alone? And there was no other guards or anything there. Like, I can't wrap my brain around that part.
See, the way that I interpreted this article is that they took him for a visit. Now, you know what I'm saying? You sit on daddy's lap and, you know, and whatever the hell comes up in between, whatever sort of, you know, little tapping or fucking jibbling. Oh, my God.
This chick is sitting on my lap. That's why you folks need to be watching us live. Ow!
Yeah, I don't see what I'm seeing. I think it's fake, but I guess I'll run the risk of figuring it out if I had balls later on if I needed to, just to see. Just see what that ass do. But anyways, back to raping little kids or molesting little kids. It's so fucked up. I mean, I wonder if he just fumbled. Either which, I don't make it right, but I'm wondering, like, because there's no fucking way they would allow a conjugal visit with fucking little kids. I'm pretty sure they post as if it was going to be a fucking visit. You know what I'm saying? They're going to see their dad. You know, they're sitting on the dude's lap, and he's probably, you know, doing God knows what, and I don't know how the fuck the kids reacted, and I don't know how the hell she would have gotten in trouble for it. Like,
well, because I guess the story is that by definition, you put the kids in danger because especially how they're describing it, it sounds like there is no relation. Like, it might be one of those things, because, you know, you get those crazy because you get those crazy bitches who fall in love with the guys in jail, and then they start writing fan mail, and then maybe she brought the kids up there, and then it's like, okay, you guys have no relationship. And of course, I'm just speculating. I didn't even read the article. I'm just speculating after reading the headline. That's what we as Americans do. And
I'm gonna reveal the secrets that we don't be reading. Sorry, no shit, no investigational journalism.
We're not journalists here. We're podcasters. But so maybe that's the case of her, you know, she brought them there and she put them in danger by bringing them to a man that she didn't really fucking know. So that's what I'm just imagining. Either way, that's a fucked up story. And actually, it does unfortunately bring up one funny joke I could think of. Shouts out to our Brian Redband, who was the co-host on the Joe Rogan Show for a while. And he's gotten to stand-up comedy. And the last time Joe Rogan and the whole motherfucking Death Squad was out here with Joey motherfucking Coco Diaz and all the rest of his people, they were at Phoenix Stand Up Live, and I got to check them out. And fucking Brian Redband said that he's on an Asian kick where he only fucks Asian women because it's illegal to fuck children. So that's why he's with little Asian women. So,
oh god,
yeah, I was like, wow, you went there. Wow, okay, we'll leave it at that. So
what they say, okay, I was gonna make another joke. Yeah, I guess we can leave that. I just heard that it tastes like some damn something. It's really tight.
Looks like a soapy sauce, but
tight like flesh being bound by books. That shit is like, how did they finally? What's happening in Harvard, yo?
Yo, and kind of been out there, but like, why the fuck aren't people tripping?
Yeah, I don't know what is going on in Harvard. Like, it's a conspiracy.
It's a world-renowned college.
It's the secret society mentality. Like, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I hate the label, but I do always, like, I think there's something to rumors, if you will, especially mass rumors that stay around for ages and ages. I think there's, you know, the maltruth in it. And Harvard and fucking Yale and all these other prestigious Anglo-American colleges, if you will, they have, you know, their societies and they have their groups and their fraternities and all that. And it's always some weird shit happening and no one really wants to come out and really talk about it. But I came across this article, and apparently there was a book at Harvard Library that is bound in human skin. Now, apparently this rare book was found back in January, but a test finally came back on Wednesday, and the test came back that without a shadow of a doubt, it is bond in human skin. Now, apparently this guy has this book, which is it's a book by a French author, and the name of it is Destinies of the Soul. And Harvard, I guess, came across it back in the 1800s, and the guy that received the book, it ponders life after death. And so the guy bound it in skin from the unclaimed body of a female mental patient who had died of a stroke.
He goes on to say that this book, he wrote a handwritten note explaining his binding choice and says that this book is bound in human skin on which no ornament has been stamped or to preserve its elegance. By looking carefully, you easily distinguish the pores of the skin. A book about the human soul deserved to have a human covering, and I had kept this piece of human skin taken off of the back of the woman. And like, that's creepy as fuck. Like, to this guy scant part of a woman and turned it into a book. And like, the creative madman in my head, like, I get the poetic story of having a story about the human soul and wrapping up in human skin to fucking metaphorically talk about the deepness of the human soul or whatever the fuck you want to take it, but that's just creepy as fuck. Like, you fucking took skin and turned it into a book cover. Like, who does that?
They can't trace it back because there's no, I mean, or can they? I mean, cause I remember hearing about this actually a while ago, and so I don't know how this article popped up on your end, but like, yeah, they, it was a lot of medical books too. Like, this is some shit that, I mean, this is cool. I mean, it's been around for so long, and honestly, who the fuck goes into a library nowadays? I mean, even though you have this great fucking, you know, I mean, this school is rich with fucking resources, you know, and history and all this stuff, but, you know, I think that's the way it kind of went on fuck with for a good little while, so really there's no way of tracing shit and, you know, how the hell it got there, but hey, you can't destroy it because it's technically kind of history.
I mean, it's historic, and they say that binding books in human skin was not unheard of in the 19th century. According to Harvard, there are numerous accounts of bodies of executed criminals being donated to science and then their skin being given to bookbinders and tanners. So to any of you people out there with a massive book collection, similar to anybody who's watching us live, you see my book collection up there in the back next to the NBA 2K playing. I'm a proponent of reading a lot, and I like to collect and buy a lot of older books, even though I buy the new prints. But if you got any books from the 19th century, they may be bound to human skin. I'm just kind of warning you right now, people. Be careful.
That's that good leather. That's that real good leather.
Niggas, leather. What was the leather so soft? What is the Lil Wayne stupid ass fucking song?
Oh, my leather so soft. And that's the only thing I remember. That's how the cook went. It was like, my leather's so soft. And then fucking a ridiculous no need verse, like always, from fucking Birdman. But I don't know why I kind of wanted to go into this a bit after. I don't know how the hell it kind of correlates. I guess this being, because you labeled the story a skin-crawling find. One of the things that that was kind of, was skin-crawling in my opinion. And you know, I'm a hater out here in Arizona. I just hate. I would have been perfect for the fucking, the haters ball. But fucking just hate. I don't know if you even kept or if you even heard, man. We're shipping beaners off via bus.
Oh,
did you hear about that shit?
No, I didn't even hear about
it. We're always shipping these motherfuckers out of here.
It doesn't surprise me because Arizona has a massive problem with Mexicans, which is probably this whole psychological thing that the white man has since we stole Arizona from Mexico. And so I think the white man is just kind of subconsciously scared that the Mexicans are going to take it back, and that's why they keep trying to shift them out by the buck. By the buck,
take it like we took the Alamo. Well, fucking, there's this thing, and it ain't just Mexicans, motherfucking. I guess they're not considered Mexican. They're from Honduras and fucking other shits that I can still the same sort of wet sorts of back. But fucking, there's like a whole heaping of shit, and they're actually like they're keeping them stationed some fucking where in Tucson or some bullshit. And I remember it being a big deal because they were taking food, and they were taking, because they kind of put them in little ghettos, you know?
Yeah.
And kind of keeping them in what this article that I sent was fucking in a makeshift shelter. But I mean, they're keeping them fucking little ghettos, man. And people were taking like food and things like that, you know, water so they can kind of to help or whatever.
Yeah.
And they made a big deal that they didn't want people to send donations anymore. Like, which I think is kind of fucked up, but they didn't want for there to be any resources for them because, hey, we got to get these fuckers on out. Which for some reason, of course, we took pity on the women and the children, which we should as humane people, and just send the assholes back there and, you know, whatever, separate the family, da 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 da. But I thought it was so funny that we're fucking crafting little fucking ghettos, you know? Like, honestly, we have no business. I mean, and God, it doesn't sound really horrible, especially me being of that culture. We owe these people nothing. And as a good fucking sheriff, Joe Arpaio, you know, send these fuckers back. You know what I'm saying? To fucking sort of keep them here, fucking to tease them. Like, I don't know. I think it's fucking ridiculous. And that kind of, that crawled under my skin.
the thing that's always funny to me too, though, when immigration comes up is anytime people think of immigrants, they always think of Mexicans, and they don't think about, like, there's a ton of, like, European immigrants and Asian immigrants, and, like, but it's always, oh no, we need to get these Mexicans out of here. Like, I don't care about those pale skin ones that came over here. I'm keeping an eye on these Mexicans. Let's get them out of here.
Yeah, and especially because, you know, I think it costs too much to send a motherfucker back to Canada or to send him back to Europe. You know, Mexico's only right down the border. Yeah, they come from Honduras, which isn't Mexico, but let's send them there anyway. They speak somewhat of the same language. Let's do it.
It reminds me of a movie I watched. Is this the name of it?
Day Without a Mexican?
Oh, no, here we go. Yo, this movie, because I fucks with... I think this is it. Yeah, I fucks with the movies with subtitles and all that. And I fucks with the foreign films, you know. And back in the day, I had watched this film called Seven Soles, which was this dude that I worked with. And like it was the funniest story because it was this cat, big buff black dude, 50 Cent, swole kind of black dude, and he was dating this chick that worked up there at the job, and she spoke no English. Mm. And he spoke no Spanish, and they dated. Like they were dating for like a year and a half, 2 years, and they didn't speak the same language. So they would watch like Spanish movies with American subtitles on it, and vice versa or whatever. So then they could watch movies together. And so he had put me up on game. He's like, old girl, put me up on this movie called Seven Soles. He's like, you should check it out. And I was dating a Mexican chick at the time, and she spoke Spanish, so we threw that motherfucker on. And it was a dope movie. Like, me being the movie buff I am, this was a fantastic movie because it was about the story of seven people trying to cross over the borders and get into America. And the thing that I said that a lot of people may think is controversial, but I think there's nothing more American than those motherfuckers trying to get out here to America. Like, the American dream is about moving up your economic class, if you will. And what is not the American story but some motherfuckers coming from some fucked up country and trying to get paid out here, just trying to work for a living and all that. Like, that's what the American dream is. Like, nigga, we made it. Like, fuck that bullshit you see in them rap videos. Like, the immigrants crossing over, that's the true American story of moving up in your class. And it was a good movie. It's called Seven Soles. Came out in 2008. Throw on your motherfucking English subtitles and peep game. Check that shit out. But yeah, it's just fucking wild, man. Good old Arizona. Welcome to the zone.
Yeah, welcome to the zone, yo. And I don't know if it's weird, but I can't watch a movie without it having subtitles. It's weird. Like, I like watching those subtitles, even though it annoys the fuck out of me when I don't know the goddamn language. I like watching fucking movies. I like watching my movies with subtitles, especially because sometimes you might catch something they maybe didn't catch before,
yeah,
or what have you. But yeah,
and fucking Trav Lord said Mexicans smell funny and attract vermin.
Oh, Trev, you know what? If I didn't have myself a wetback when I went hiking earlier and didn't fucking feel like a goddamn beaner in the sun, like similar to the raisin in the sun, I'd argue and be very upset with your fucking allegations. Very true.
And speak.
Shit like that makes me want to shoot a motherfucker. Talking like that. Twist it like. He's going to get a gat. Twist it like this, all stylized. Shoot.
And apparently, that's the American way. And also, I guess the Canadian way now. There's been a string of fucking shootings since our last episode. And so, this has to bring up the story that comes up all the fucking time is the whole gun control debate. Like, do we need to get a hold of these guns? Are these, can humans not protect themselves? And do we need to take gun control? And it's just always laugh about gun control. Off of my honest opinion is that, like, anything, be it a weapon, be it a drug, be it alcohol, be it any and everything, everything is a tool, and it all comes back to how you use that fucking tool. So, like, you have hammers, and every so often you get a crazy motherfucker who take a hammer up to a bitch head and kill her, but we're not trying to take hammers away and all that. You know, it's all about the tool and how you use the tool. And so I don't think that guns need to really be taken away or anything like that. I do think that there needs to be more laws. I do think that it shouldn't be that easy to get a gun, but I think these strains of shootings is just like I say all the time, there's too many people on the planet.
Guns don't kill people, people do.
Yeah, crackheads don't kill people, you know, or crack doesn't kill people, crackheads kill people. That's the story. So
usually eat off faces and such fuckeries like of that nature. But
apparently, yo, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say? I dare not be rude and stuff.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, yeah, in Seattle, a college got attacked, and, it was another fucking school shooting. It says that the man accused of opening fire at a Seattle college had a fascination with school shootings, tells investigators he had once visited Columbine High School. According to the unmanned police source, the suspect admitted to the attack and told police that he wanted to shoot up a school. Now, Arian Ybarra is being ordered and held without bail in connection to the shooting at Seattle Pacific University that left one dead and two wounded. And they are saying that the charges are pending, and it's just kind of fucked up that another college shooting. It's just, I don't know. It gets to a point where, like, we were talking about desensitization earlier. It's you get to the point where you get, like, numb to it. Like, oh, another school got shot. Oh, not surprised. Like, fucked up to think that way, but that's what it is.
Little kids died. Word.
Word. Like that.
Who's Kardashian? When's that wedding coming out?
Yeah, for real.
Which, I'm not too sure if it was the same story, then if it was that same Seattle shooting, because that John Meese, whatever, didn't he try to stop some shit or whatever? And he actually tried to get in the way? Is that the same thing? Were you still in the story?
I believe so. I'm trying to scroll down because, yeah, apparently some student had made a
stage. He actually stepped in, tried to be a hero, motherfucking played Black Ops a few times. He thought, hey, bam, bam, I came with a fist.
Oh, yeah. Apparently it was a student security guard who tackled the suspect. He saw the guy and got his pepper spray and sprayed him and tackled him. So shouts out to that, what was the fucking, the world-class security team?
Yeah, fucking top-flight security of the world.
Top-flight security of the world.
His 50 cents to call on the payphone, chucked it at him, fucking stopped him, sprayed him, fucking, and did his thing. And then he got free wedding presents because the motherfucker happened to get married. Yeah. And got some gifts.
And actually, and shouts out to motherfucking heroes. I got nothing but love for it. If you one of them motherfuckers that goes out there and, like, saves a motherfucker, like, shouts out to you. Because it's one of those things that, like, people all the damn time will say, oh, I would have did this, and they should have did this. And there's always those fucking conversations. But you don't know what the fuck you would do until you're in that situation. Like, you see, no matter what you say, until you see that motherfucking gunman bucking at people, and you're the motherfucking top flight security guard out there, there's no telling what you would do in that situation. And so shouts out to him for stepping up to the plate and possibly saving some motherfuckers lives. So,
well, let me tell you something. Yeah, true, you won't know until you're in a certain situation what it is that you would do, but in straight up honesty, due to my suicidal tendencies, I will be the first motherfucker to try to stop some shit, try to pull off a fucking Neo and try to stop it with my fucking hand. I fucking try to stop some shit because I can't wait for the day that they fucking take me out. And then I try to fucking maybe go off to the side. Hopefully they shoot me in the gut. I gotta get emergency liposuction, get reconstructed and whatnot, and come back looking like $6 million man.
Motherfucking go out like Queen Latifah on Set It Off.
Oh God,
go out motherfucking ghetto hero style.
Yo, on the real though, like, especially, man, when I found God, you know what I'm saying? Most motherfuckers don't know that he's missing. But when I found that, man, I think Zach told me that once too. I'm like, dude, I found God. He's like, oh, I didn't know he was missing. And he hits me quick with it, because, you know, I was atheist. Like, I didn't know the nigga existed.
Yeah.
But when I came into faith, yo, I came in hardcore, bro. I was on fire for God, dog. And I truly, one of my biggest things, and I think this is what I think I was meant to do at one point, because I started getting into fitness. You know, I lost my weight.
Yeah.
I wanted to straight up, man, go in, I don't want to say butt ass naked, but I truly wanted to go in fucking meth dens. Fucking meth houses with just a goddamn Bible, but slapping motherfuckers, dude, and just truly, like, not even having no gun, no sword, quote unquote, just straight up fucking slapping niggas with the word of the Lord, fucking, and just praying that, you know what I'm saying, I fucking survived and came out fucking victorious.
And it's crazy too, because you never know, like, a average day, like, you just woke up and to just have a average day, and then you just did some hero shit. And it reminds me of, I was watching this video on YouTube not too long ago. Shouts out to, I think it's called All Time Conspiracies. It's one of my favorite YouTube series, and I fucks with it real heavy because, like, I love that they bring up, like, 1,000 different conspiracies, like, does the Pope know about aliens, and, you know, did we really make it to the moon, and, like, they bring up all this crazy shit, but they don't say that this is the answer without a shadow of a doubt. They tell you this is this side of the story, this is this side of the story, and this is the mainstream take on it, and you guys decide what you think or whatever. I always fucks with it real heavy. And they had one about the Tank Man of Tenamine, and it was this dude, there was a bunch of shit that was going on out there in Beijing, and some lone young man walked toward the middle of the avenue waving his jacket and shopping bag to stop these tanks that were coming. Like, tanks were going down the street getting ready to fuck some shit up, and him being a man without a weapon just stepped in front of the tank like, no motherfucker, stop. And, like, he got carted off by some men in black suits, if you will. He was never seen from again. But this was, like, 20 years ago. And it's funny because the motherfucker had shopping bags in his hand. So he was having a regular day and just left his fries, food, and drugstore and was walking down the streets and decided to intervene and tell these tanks, like, yo, you need to stop this bullshit. And it's just crazy that, like, just a regular old average day, he went out and became a fucking hero. And he's known as the Tenement Man, man. You never know what life is going to bring you.
Yeah. See, and I think this kind of encouraged me. I got to get out of my fucking bat cave. I need to, because I can't get into danger if I just stay in this motherfucker. I can't save lives and get the white woman as a prize unless I go out and put myself in some fucking danger. This is true, man. I need to get out there.
Yeah, and you should go to Canada.
Yo, and I'm just...
Oh, but wait, Canada won't work either because they're shooting shit up in Canada as well right now.
I'm trying to save lives.
Apparently, a Canadian town slipped out of a tense bear and into mourning overnight with the arrest of a man who was suspected of killing 3 police officers and wounding 2 others. The guy who, the suspect whose name is Justin however you pronounce
Bieber,
that.
Bieber, I'm Justin Bieber.
He yelled that he gave up at a nearby resident who watched the arrest through the window. And yeah, this guy, I don't even know what the fuck happened with this. Another guy had fucking guns and decided to shoot some shit up. I don't know what's wrong with the people in the world today. Like, why the fuck does everybody feel the necessary? Like, it's one thing, and I don't believe in suicide. I think that's the coward's way out. You just kind of just rough through it. You just got to go and stick to the bullshit. Yeah, it's the coward's way out. You just got to, life is fucked up, and But I'm gonna
like
keep
taking the ass. You take it and you.
And I think the thing that is worse than being, and this is not to anybody out there who has family members or friends who committed suicide. It's not to piss on their legacy and all that. But I just personally, I just like fight through it, if you will. But I think what's even worse than that is to be one of these motherfuckers who your life ain't shit and you want to go out and kill a bunch of other motherfuckers. Like, I think that's the weakest shit. Like, that's bullshit. Like, okay, if you hate your life, kill yourself. Don't bring nobody else with you. It's your fucking fault. Your life sucks. Why are you taking other motherfuckers down with you? So I don't know, man.
If anything, if you're gonna take some motherfuckers down with you, join the army. Fucking go ahead and take some motherfuckers out that way.
Go legally kill some brown people. Yeah, that's all you gotta do. Join the army
for the country. Might as well.
Yeah, might as well.
Fucking, they'll put you on the what was it? What was the shit called? For the Red Wings when they put the black people first in the airplanes. What they called? The Stegi experiments.
Stegi Airmen. Yeah, they would put the black people out there. It reminds me of the South Park, fucking the first South Park movie.
Yeah.
When they were going to war with Satan.
That's exactly what they were making fun of.
They were like, Team A, you're going to go in, you're going to do this, and then you're going to fight, and then after you guys are done fighting, then Team B, you're going to come in and clear up the mess, and they separate them by teams, and Team A was all the black people. It was like, hold on, what the fuck? Like, we got to be the motherfuckers to go out there and get fucked up.
That's why we give it to y'all motherfuckers first in movies. It's just, we can't not stop this tradition and have this not happen.
Gotta send the black man out there first. Somebody gotta protect the white woman, right?
Gotta do the white woman, and that's me. But honestly, though, I think it would take, because I don't know what motherfuckers who are suicidal, who they think is gonna happen, but honestly, and in a fucked up way, and this is how I think why the world works the way it does, and I don't know if it's we hypnotize or we just set to think this sort of shit, but I think some fucked up shit has to happen in order to bring us together. Kind of how you gotta fucking see a fucked up day to know what a good one is. Yeah. And so what was the next thing about fucking world?
And actually, real quick, before we segue into the other thing, real quick, talking about the whole suicide thing, my other opinion too about suicide is that life is fucked up. It's all messed up right now. You want to move on to the next life. You want to die or whatever.
But who's to say that death is better? Like, who's to say that it doesn't get worse when you pass on? Like, you don't know. Like, my whole thing too is, when you break down everything from scientific point of view, you have the universe. The universe exploded. And you could take this the science way. You could take it a spiritual way, that God is the universe. You could take it whichever way you want to, but just ride with me.
No.
You have the universe, which is infinite. It's ever expanding, if you will. Our human composition, our body, all the chemicals and amino acids and everything that makes us who we are, these biological flesh pieces beings or whatever. All this shit comes from the stars. So you have a star explodes, and all that biological matter goes out and creates a human, if you will. Really simplifying all of this science shit. But so we, you know, stars explode and they later on made human life and other type of life. And so who's to say, like, if the universe is infinite, if stars explode and they create more life, who's to say that when we die we don't create something else? Who's to say that life isn't infinite and it doesn't go on and on forever? Because there's nothing in the universe that isn't infinite. Like, everything goes on forever. And so why doesn't life, you know, life may go on forever? So this shit is fucked up. I'm gonna try it again. Oh shit, next thing I know, I'm this kid in Somalia with a malnourished belly sticking out. And so you never know. So
I come back as a goddamn anal bead for that motherfucker in Somalia that happened to got kidnapped, used for fucking slave fuckery. And yeah, just it's all bad. It's all
damn,
bad. But
I wish I had that last life. Yeah, this life is fucked up. So, but it does make me wonder and speculate and thought and just kind of wonder, what does it take to bring on world peace? And would it take, like, a global catastrophe to bring on world peace? And I kind of think back to 9/11. I was 18 when 9/11 happened. It's actually funny. I'll never forget the day of 9/11 and what happened and all that, because I was dating this chick. You know, I gets around. What can I say? I was dating a chick. We both worked at the mall together. We both worked at the mall together. I didn't have a car at the time. I'm 18. She had a car and all that. And she had spent the night. And then she was like, you know what? Just drop me off at work. She was like, you can keep my car and all that. So I was like, okay.
You had it like that?
That's what I do, man.
You know what? I call it the nigga story. Because when I fucking... Because I know there's one luscious white bitch that I works with. And she fucking lets her fucking... her. I call her her dicker downer. Because it ain't her baby daddy. It ain't her boyfriend. It's just a nigga who just dicks her downs her.
Yeah.
Fucking makes off with their car. I'm like, you such a dumb bitch. But that's cool.
It's actually funny because quick little side note, there was another chick that I dated, same thing. It was like a year later, and I didn't have a car, and she had a car, and she would let me drive her car all the time. The dumb bitch, even one time she was telling her friends, she was like, I don't let nobody drive my car. She was like, except my mom and, well, Burst. And like, she pointed at me, yeah, well, you right, bitch. Let them know you let me be driving that motherfucker.
Because it was funny. My dick game, though.
The thing that was like fucked up about it, I'm 19, I'm an asshole, I ain't give a fuck about the bitch. And so I remember one time I was backing out and I had her emergency brake on and I started driving. I was like, oh shit. I was like, you know what? I want to see what driving with the emergency brake is like. And I drove it through the fucking parking lot with the emergency. Oh, I'm such an asshole. That's the reason why my life got dark for a while. My karma caught up with me for a while. I used to do some fucked up shit. But anyway, back to the original chick. So she let me keep the car, and I dropped off at work, got back home, and I hadn't turned on the TV. I was just sitting down, I'm eating, and she called me, and she was like, yo, come pick me up. I was like, what you mean, come pick you up? You know, you're the only one at work today. She was like, the mall is closed. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean, like, the mall is closed? Like, the mall is only closed on, like, fucking Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, it's open every day. And she was like, have you not been watching the news? And I was like, okay. And so I turned on
the mail. What the fuck would I be watching the news? I'm sorry,
why would I be? I should be listening to rap music right now and smoking weed. What are you talking about watching the news?
Yeah, it's 9/11. Okay, keep going.
And so I turned on the TV, and the second I turned on the TV, I'm seeing these explosions. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck is going on? And like, I'm tripped out and all that. And so I'll never forget 9/11. But the thing that was interesting is after 9/11 happened, Americans, in a sense, came together, and like, we kind of put a lot of the bullshit behind us, except we started going hard on Muslims. But besides the Muslims, we were a tight-knit community for a little while. And I just wonder if something in a sci-fi realm of a alien invasion, if that would bring humankind together. Or maybe if we saw a big fucking asteroid, and if we don't come together and stop this motherfucker's gonna blow up Earth in 10 years. Like, would it take something of that level and that magnitude to
bring together world peace and we stop the Ukraine riots and we stop this Putin shit and this new cold world we're in, and we stop all of, does it take a global catastrophe to fix all of this shit? Papo, that is what I'm asking.
You know what? It really fucking would, because we get little teaspoons, like I said, of these other fucking travesties, even the fucking little Nigerians fucking girls that we had to, you know, we had to bring back our gals. We didn't give a fuck about that for too long, so really, it does really need, it takes some fucked up shit in order to kind of bring us together, which is messed up, and sometimes it takes going against the race, so, yeah. I mean, like, even I remember when 9/11 happened, actually, I mean, I'm saying I'm a little bit younger, I remember being in the school that I was at, because I was in school at the time, I remember the first fucking thing I saw on the fucking school doors, we didn't have our information right for shit, because someone put a sign about fuck Iraq or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? That's, we're in the fucking middle of those wars, so we automatically assume those fucking Iraq. I'm like, wrong war. But anyways, I think it really would take that. I know I put another story too. We just, every other day we're realizing there's another asteroid, there's another meteor, there's another shit that's going to be so far along. Yeah. It doesn't quite pull us together, because mind you, it's one of those things we kind of don't pay attention to, because honestly, we're easily distracted. So it does have to be something that's fucked up. We do need a true fucking invasion of shits. Aliens are already out there probing and fucking and doing all these sort of things. Y'all need to just show yourselves and really bring us together. You know we're idiots. You know we won't do shit and come together as a race unless you come and shake up the world, yo. You know what I mean?
And that's what it takes. I think it would take an Independence Day to bring together world peace, if you will. I think it would only be a matter of time before we get back to being the ignorant, dumb fucks that we are. Yeah, but it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of crazy. And like you were speaking about the asteroids and all that, and a lot of people don't realize just like the danger of asteroids. Like, to all the people out there in the world, just kind of wrap your head around this, because the world is so huge that we kind of just look at ourselves in the world, or as, you know, people walking down the street or whatever, or sitting in your home or driving in your car as you're listening to this podcast. But put this into perspective. We are on this large ass fucking rock that is spinning around at 1500 miles per hour, and that gives us our 24 hours in a day. This big ass fucking rock is flying through space at 64,000 miles per hour, and that gives us our 365.25 days out of the year and all this. And we're just this big fucking rock flying through space. Space isn't peaceful. There's rocks all over the place just flying every fucking where. Like, we're not in this peaceful environment. This shit doesn't fucking happen. 65 million years ago, a big enough rock hit Earth and fucking killed the dinosaurs. You know, there's a lot of stories coming out now where it looks like we got hit by a massive asteroid or something 12,000 years ago, which may have jump-started and restarted human civilization, if you will. You have the shit that happened in Russia. What was that, last year when that asteroid hit Russia?
Yeah, it took over the town.
And the scary part about that, like a lot of people don't realize, is like it hurt 1,600 people. The thing exploded like 12 miles into our atmosphere. So it had lost a lot of power before it hit the planet. And the other thing that is crazy is like the reason why that shit happened, we didn't see it coming because it was coming directly from the direction of the sun. And so we can't look into the sun. You can't point a magna scope directly at the sun. It's too fucking bright. So this thing had been flying at us for God knows how fucking long before it hit us. It was coming directly from the sun. We don't know what else is coming directly right there. You can't see the shit until it's too fucking late. So...
You know, it's kind of mind fucking me right now, because, you know, there's shit flying around space. Space is just, it's uncontrollable. Yeah. We don't know what the fuck's going on. We can't calculate. Obviously, we can't look into the sun. Imagine what the fucking, the shits that kind of go in and out that can skyrocket towards it, that doesn't come right at us. We really can do shit. And
the thing I learned about that fucked me up was, have you ever heard of rogue planets?
Yeah. Oh, explain to people.
For those out there who don't know what it is, like, we're on a planet that orbits a star system. So we have the sun and we have all these planets and we have this cosmic harmony going on that, you know, and we're rotating through space, if you will. Now, there's these things called rogue planets, which are like the size of planets and they're basically stars, and they don't have a sun that they're rotating on. So they're possibly, at one point, they were part of some type of solar system that the star died out and the planets just kind of free float out there in space. Now, these rogue planets, they don't have a sun, so we can't see them. Like, they're just flying. Like, that's the reason why we could find other planets, is that, oh, we look, there's a star right there, there's a sun, and it shines the light, and the reflection of the light, oh, there's a shadow right there, oh, so there's a planet there, and so on and so forth. These rogue planets don't have stars, so they're just flying out there. You can't fucking see them. And there's more rogue planets out there than there is planets that orbit the stars. A fucking planet-sized asteroid, the size of fucking Jupiter or Saturn or even Pluto, could be heading directly at us, and we won't see it until it comes close enough that light could reflect off of it. And just, like, just once you really break down the universe, it's just, it's so much that we don't fucking know. Like, so I don't know. Like, the global catastrophes happen, and we could look at the moon as a direct result of that. You see all those craters on the moon, that's from rocks hitting them. And so just as many rocks that hit moon has hit Earth. And so it's only a matter of time when before another rock hits us. And so, but maybe through it all, maybe we come together as a species and get over the dumb shit.
Yeah, I think it's gonna take a well-calculated fucking riffing to fucking to do that shit. But yeah, cause and even then, all the calculation in the world isn't the most accurate, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. Who knows, you know, maybe we gotta get our shit together, because, you know what I'm saying, soon enough they're gonna ship all the motherfuckers out of here, they're gonna be chilling in fucking Mars and the moon, and we all gonna be fucked here with only our fucking goddamn dicks in our hands and fucking just sweet little resemblances of prettier things.
Hey, and who knows, because, you know, Mars, we're trying to get to Mars by 2020, might be asteroid getting here by 2021, and maybe the rich motherfuckers trying to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. That's exactly what's happening. You know what? And like I said, all that we're left with is fucking is here with us with the goddamn dick in our hands. Which I want to say kind of brings us to our favorite part, no?
I think it's about that time of the show, which is...
You can be with a dick in our hands.
Dedications. And I actually have 3 fucking dedications this week. Popo called me a greedy man, but I can't help it. I believe I use
a racial slur, sir, but yeah, greedy man for sure.
I love hard, and I've been watching some movies. Me and the missus have been sitting around getting our movies on, and she stopped by Redbox not too long ago, and we picked up a couple of movies. One in particular was Lego Movie, which was a fantastic fucking movie. Oh, I think I was more excited watching it than anybody else.
That's already on DVD? Because I know I saw when it was on iTunes, but it's already... Okay, sweet. I've been wanting to check it out.
Check out Redbox. And we got Hunger Games Part 2, Catching Fire.
I've been watching that too.
I fucks with Hunger Games, and shouts out to Jennifer Lawrence and her fine ass. But the other movie that she got was...
The fattest bitch of Hollywood, and I will eat it. Okay, but
And the other movie that we picked up was called About Last Night, and it was starring Kevin Hart and the dude that I will never learn his name, his real government name, because he will always be Ricky from Barbershop to me, so that's how I refer to him, is as Ricky from Barbershop. They put out a romantic comedy movie, and I fucks it with rom-coms. They're one of my favorite type of films, and so I had a damn good time watching the movie. And 3 beautiful women in particular who were in this movie, I decided to name all 3 of them my dedications, so I'm going to go ahead and roll through those right now. And my first dedication of the week goes to my beautiful chocolate goddess, who also has some hood rat in her, Miss Motherfucking Regina Hall. I fucks with Gina Hall.
Yo. Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I'll comment on her when she... Well, actually, I guess I'll say real fast. I guess it's kind of a spinoff of that, of them all interacting together. Because I remember her from the scary movies. You know what I'm saying? Yes. She was just a basic hood rat bitch. But when I saw her on, what was that movie? Fucking Steve Harvey, Think Like a Man?
No, I never saw it.
You're a black man. You like rom-coms, and you never seen Think Like a Man?
I hate Steve Harvey, so I didn't want to put no money in that man's pockets. Them big-ass fucking jacket pockets, I didn't want to put
no money. Shit.
I can't fuck with
it. To me, she's gotten better with age. If the whole saying about fucking the black of the berries for the future and how it, you know, she's gotten way sexier. And that movie is what opened up my eyes. Like, damn, like, 40, she looks good in her 40s. Similar to that one bitch that was off of Clueless. She was in that
Stacey Dash. Oh.
Yes. God, that's a sweet one.
Yes, and they age well. Go ahead.
Well, you know how I'm gonna eat them, man. But God, yeah. So when I give a kudos,
And I love Regina Hall because you could tell, like, from her personality, you could tell she grew up in the hood. But she's not like an annoying hood rat. Like, she's a hood rat that I could take home to meet the parents. Like, I love that you could tell she's street smart. And so I fucks with her heavy. And another.
Wait.
Oh, go ahead.
Wait, brother, I was going to say, because we're gonna kind of go back and forth with this, is we not?
Oh!
But what I will say, though, did you enjoy her from any of the movies, or was this kind of what opened your eyes back to her?
No, and I've always been a fan of hers. Like, even back to, like, Scary Movie. Like, she was my favorite part of Scary Movie. Like, I was watching it because of her. And I love her personality. I think she's awesome. And she did fantastic in the movie. I thought her and Kevin Hart played off of each other so damn well. And I also think that they ad-libbed a majority of the shit that they were saying. Like, you could tell, like, they just hit play and was like, just let them feed off of each other. And, like, what came out that was good, they put that in the movie, and I love their chemistry. It was fantastic. So
yeah, and I've always thought of a funny product. I haven't seen her two movies. Definitely my go-to remembrance of her is when she's fucking with Sean Wayans, who's a supposedly undercover brother, and
yeah.
take it Brandon, and she's like, huh, I mean Brenda.
Brenda.
So let me jump to mine. And I tried updating the, if you want to check Evernote real fast so you can see the link, my dedication. Her name is Amber Heard. AMBER, last name HEARD. The first movie I ever seen her in, oh gosh, she was a luscious little 17-year-old looking bitch. She was on a Pineapple Express. She was Seth Rogen's love interest in it. She has definitely matured into a sexy bitch. I know she had some random ass part in Zombieland, but the movie where I'm like, what the fuck, this is not that bitch, because I'm a big fan of Robert Rodriguez. He does some of the best B-grade movies ever. Anyways, and she's on a fucking beaner ass fucking B-grade movie called Machete Kills.
Oh, I still ain't seen that. I want to see it, but I still haven't seen it.
Watch that shit. She plays some kind. She plays an assistant. She has a decent role in this. And mind you, she's a Wadita. I thought she was all white. This bitch starts speaking Spanish. Oh, it's fine as hell. Watch Machete. You'll see her. Like I said, if you remember fucking Pineapple Express, you wouldn't expect this from that kind of bitch. But she's just all alluring. And I don't know if you did you see the link of the picture I tried to send you? Because mind you, you know, not everyone looks good from all angles. Like, usually I look, you know, a little bit sexier, and I do this, and I got my hair getting good. But we all have our angles, and I try to send a link of luscious angle of hers.
Oh, well, I'm refreshing it. Okay, here we go.
As far as movies go, like I said, I haven't really got to see her in, you know, play two drastic roles. Oh! She has a heavy catalog, so she's up and coming. But man, she fucking killed it on Machete Kills, and it's a ridiculous movie. But goddamn it, she's sexy, and she's a Wadita who spoke Spanish, so you just know my ass almost did.
That's what's up. I know, I was looking through her. Yeah, I was looking through her photo gallery, and me likes what I see. I like she got them green eyes, too, man. And some about, oh.
Pretty bitch, and I ain't mad.
I ain't mad. Ooh, I ain't mad. Somebody else that I'm not mad about is another beautiful chocolate goddess who was on About Last Night. Was my motherfucking boo thing, Joy Bryant. Now go ahead and you can go ahead and check out Joy Bryant. Now I initially fell in love with this chick when she played, let me scroll through here, she was Charlene on Get Rich or Die Trying. She was 50 Cent's girl on there.
She's a very classy looking bitch.
Yes. Oh, she's so classy, and she, like, I got a thing for classy chicks. Like, I, as much as I despise hoodratism, growing up in the hood, I was surrounded by hood rats, and of course a lot of friends grew up and they settled with hood rats, and I can't fuck with a hood rat. I love me a classy chick who knows how to carry herself in the streets. And Joy Bryant is a beautiful, wonderful, she seems smart and intelligent, and she seems like she's one of those chicks that she grew up in the hood, but she had like a 4.0 GPA, and she kind of worked her hardest to get out of the hood. You know, the hood didn't make her, she made it out the hood, and she seemed like one of those types of chicks, and I fucks with her. And apparently she also attended Yale University, so hot damn, she bright too. So just
what such breaking of stereotypes, what's going on here?
Breaking all of the stereotypes down.
You know what, I've always kind of considered, and please believe I love the classiness, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of such shits. She looks like a bitch to me. And honestly, but if she done made out the hood and she done had that great point average and she looking for a nigga with six figures, well then God bless her. You know, I guess.
And I ain't mad.
Cup of tea.
I like me an angry woman, so I'm not mad. I'm not mad. She could be as mean as she want to.
One that I would take, in her darkest of days, which I guess would be now since she's again so goddamn old. But my second dedication since we're going up to three, and she recently just had a movie that's a poor excuse to try to stay relevant as far as Adam Sandler goes, with the movie Blended. But Drew Barrymore, she's been one of my all-time favorite videos. And I sent you update the Evernote real fast because there's a special picture of hers. I've been a fan. I mean, I guess since my daddy made me watch E.T. and Lord knows how great of a man that is, because he said, he's like, I knew since then. I'm like, God damn, buddy, you just raised me to be a goddamn pervert, didn't you? Well, as we know, you know, she had a crazy upbringing and she was a fucking 10-year-old alcoholic. And she got dicked by a lot of people in the industry. Two of her baddest moments as far as looking fine was in Bad Girls. I don't know if you remember that movie. She was like a cowgirl. And that's what that picture was of. Movie called Bad Girls. She just sexy little bitch. Really just played the ditzy hoe. One of my favorite times of seeing her was, I don't know if you remember Wayne's World. And I'm really doing some flashback fucking Friday shits with this one. But on Wayne's World, she played a secretary. I think it was Wayne's World 2. She played like a Swedish fucking secretary. She just talked with this accent and she just adorable as all fuck. I mean, she was just a sexy little fuck toy in her little scene in that movie. But movies like Wedding Singer, she just had this crazy little sweetness that really bounced up really well. She has great comedic timing. She obviously has been in the game for a minute.
Yeah.
When she did Whip It with Ellen Page, that was her first directorial debut. So she's been doing her fucking thing. I mean, she's beautiful. She hasn't had the best luck with love, you know, her little failed relationship with Justin Long. I mean, she's just been through some shit. Yeah. God love her. I mean, were you ever a fan of her?
Yo, I have the utmost respect for her, and
respect.
I love the fact that she's been through a rough life, if you will, because that's the whole thing. Like, that's like
for childhood for
yeah. Like my kids. Like, I think I got two beautiful boys. You know, I like to brag on them. I think they handsome young man. I think they're gonna grow up and get all the breezies. I'm not mad at them. You know, I'm gonna make them pick. You know, properly and treat
stay,
them
though.
With respect. But they, he gonna they gonna home. Get the breezies. Yeah. But fucking with them being as charismatic and as handsome as I, you know, think my boys are, I would not let them become a childhood like movie star. Like, I think children need to have childhoods. Like, I think the quicker you get to adulthood, I think that kind of fucks your brain up. And for her to have been through as much as she has, and she's not a train wreck like Miley Cyrus or like fucking where's Amanda, what's her name, Amanda Bynes, where the fuck is Amanda Bynes at? Like, them bitches had a hard life and they fell the fuck off, and Drew Barrymore has kept it classy and kept it pimping and kept it moving, and so I got nothing but love for her. Got nothing but love for you, honey.
Baby, wouldn't call you bitch unless we fucking.
And speaking of another beautiful young lady that I wouldn't call bitch unless we was fucking, my third and final dedication, which also came from about last night, was somebody who played a surprising role, came out of nowhere. The motherfucking beautiful and delicious looking Paula Patton. Hot damn. Now,
whoa, isn't that a fucking my boy fucking Robin Thicke's did?
Now, thing? This is the reason why I cannot, will not, and shall not ever fuck with Robin Thicke, because he was married to this hot little thing and he fucked that up. So fuck Robin Thicke and his rapey songs that he likes to put out. This is a beautiful hot young lady and you need to treat her with the utmost respect.
Yo,
and hot damn.
That woman.
Hot damn. Paula Patton, I've been in love with Paula Patton since the first time I saw her, which was in the, and actually it's funny because she was in Hitch and she was in Idlewild, but for some reason I remember but don't remember a whole lot. What really caught my attention was when she was in the movie Deja Vu with Denzel Washington, which Deja Vu was one of my favorite films. I thought it was a dope concept. Denzel is one of my favorite actors. I thought he did a good job. I thought it was a real good movie. And she was the chick that was in Deja Vu, and I fell in love with her on that movie, and I've been in love with her ever since, and I've been hating Robin Thicke ever since I found out his bitch ass was married to her, and so Paula Patton.
And she gets a swing for sure. Honestly, I never knew where the fuck she was from. Like, I never kind of kept up with her. I always thought she was definitely, she's definitely commercially fucking beautiful. You know what I'm saying? No doubt. I only knew her as fucking Robin Thicke's boofing. I knew she was, I don't fucking know. But yeah, I can't even comment on it. She's just beautiful. I don't know shit about you, bitch. I just know that you got Robin Thicke looking like a real sad motherfucker at all his concerts talking about forgiveness and how he has to give a speech every time he's about to sing a song because he's about to talk about fucking. But just to let you know, I still miss my bitch.
Oh.
He gets right into the thing, so. I guess I can move along to my girl. That's okay.
Go ahead.
And she definitely looks like a bitch. She definitely is an oddly looking bitch and what kind of brought her back into my world. But before I go into why she's currently relevant, you might remember her from such films as she was the crazy going-to-be ex-girlfriend on 8 Mile. She was then fucking the only güerita prostitute on Hustle and Flow. She currently resurfaced because the season 2 of Black Orange is a New Black just released on Netflix. Her name is Taryn Manning, I think is her name.
Yes, sir.
I told you the links for that. I sent you the perfect picture of this bitch.
Yes, you did.
Yes, one thing I'm gonna say, because you know I have a thing about oddly looking bitches, and she definitely plays a fucking toothless fucking hillbilly in the fucking Orange Is the New Black. There's just something about that. I don't know if it's because I want a girl to just gum me up, you know what I'm saying? While she's gumming the motherfucker, but she just, I don't know, she just, there's this little ditzy little thing that I like about her, and especially for fucking Hustle and Flow. Oh god, I remember this line. It's my fucking favorite line. It was when she's at Anderson's, I forget his name, Anthony, some, the producer who was, remember Anthony Hustle Anderson. Flow, the dude who was a beat maker, not the beat maker, but the producer, Anthony some shit. What?
Yeah, it's Anthony Anderson.
So they're at the house, you know, they're kind of, it's kind of awkward because this is a good Christian man with his wife, and the fucking Terrence Howard or Howard Terrence brings in these two fucking hookers in there. They're just sitting there all awkward-like, and she's playing with the hair. She's like, these is extensions. I don't know why that shit just fucking says to me, these is extensions, and she just,
it's funny because you might pull my hip hop card, but I have never seen Hustle and Flow.
What? How? Brother.
I got so much shit. With me being the black hip hop head that I am, and at the time that the movie had came out, I was deep heavy into making music and all that, and I remember one of my coworkers. What's up?
I said, you didn't have time for that shit. You was getting it in.
Yeah. So. One of my coworkers was laughing because I have the, I have the studio. It's the studio behind me too. That's how I get down to did the audio engineering thing too. And so I just transitioned into podcasting, if you will. But back when I had my studio at the house that I was living at, I had the, milk cartons all up on the walls to, you know, reflect the sound. Like I had built a soundproof room that acoustically sounded good to record and mix in. And that movie came out, and a couple of my homeboys was like, yo, you reminded me of the dude from Hustle and Flow, because they had the milk cartons up and all that. Oh, did you get that idea from there? I'm like, no, nigga, I've been doing this. Like that was what was, yeah, the movie was like, that's what niggas do who are trying to make it, like, and all that. And so it was just one of those things where it didn't catch my attention, because it was like, nigga, that's what a lot of us unsigned artists are fucking doing, and like, I don't know, whatever, I was hating. But I need to check out the movie. And so I didn't see her in this movie, but I fell in love with her on Orange Is the New Black. She's what makes that show for me. Like, Piper, I like Piper, but Piper's okay.
No,
like,
I'm done with
this chick. This chick is the reason why I'm gonna watch season 2 is because I want to see this chick. She's phenomenal. Yeah.
And thank the good Lord, that the fact that she is back in this, she gets a fucking, I didn't get to watch all of that, because, you know, fuck, you get so consumed in the shits. I only caught 2 episodes, but this bitch gets an upgrade. That's all I'm gonna tell you. Only 2 episodes in, bitch gets an upgrade. But one thing I fucking love, because you know, soap opera is perverted, the crazy motherfuckers I am, the true hypocrite. Fuck, I love me a Bible fucking thumping bitch. And she plays that. Not only is she a little bulimic looking, crazy looking hoe, but damn, she's a Bible thumper too! And I just knew what I wanted in the game.
What killed me with her whole part, cause like I said, I didn't know who she was before the show. So like when I first got a few episodes into the series, I was like, yo, they found a real fucking meth head to act. I was like, tripped out. And then I was like, yo, she's acting her ass off that. I really thought that was a meth head. I was like, they're giving this meth head fucking money to do this show. And then it came out that she was a real actress and she's been around. I'm like, god damn, she's acting her ass off. So Orange Is the New Black, fucks with the people, if you guys haven't, it's phenomenal.
And And I'll say this too, because I can't help fucking like, comment how beautiful and pale this bitch is. But the fact that she can make someone who's truly, truly beautiful, they just make her look hella ugly, but she's so compelling in her fucking, in her character. And she, who kind of got stuck playing some semi-shitty roles, she went, like I said, from 8 Mile playing the fucking the girlfriend who got dumped, to fucking to Hustle and Flow playing some hooker, to even playing this fucking some crack addict fucking hillbilly. I mean, she is just diverse and just, you know what I'm saying? That bitch deserves a clap, round of applause. And like I said, if I had my legs the way I fucking want my legs to be, I'd do an ass clap for you. But we'll say that.
So that is our dedications, people. And we will, of course, as always, put up the pictures up on the website so you can check them out. You can follow them on their social media. You can support them in their movies and all their endeavors. And we'll also put up on our Lust blog page where I have dedication articles up for each and every one of these people. You can see pictures of them. You could read up about them. And I also have a video section where you could also watch them being them and doing what the fuck they do. And so go out and support these lovely motherfucking ladies.
But most importantly, go to the website so you can do such things. Thank you.
And so I guess on that note, I would like to tell the people that once again our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. questions, comments, articles you want to hear our opinion on, you could go ahead and shoot that over there. Find us on the web, on Facebook, YouTube, and Tumblr. Just add IBHM Podcast in the appropriate spot. Subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. If you niggas being lazy, like I know you will be,
Head
on the website, IBHMpodcast.com, and find all of our links, all of our videos, all of our photo galleries, just all the nonsense, all the craziness, all the hard work we put into the website, and it's phenomenal. And come fucks with us over there.
Yes. Yes, do that. Do that. And call us. Once again, what's the number? Huh?
It's 480, because we're real fancy. Call us out in AZ at 480-426-0013. Once again, that number is 480-426-0013. Leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you think, And Weez appreciates it, and we shows love back. So I guess on that note, I'm Black.
I'm Mexican. Or he...
He's Mexican, which is Papo, and versus I and I'm Black. And if you didn't like this podcast, you must be a fucking racist. So
goddamn racist.
Gosh.
Goddamn.
Until next time. Whoa.
You gotta take a number two. I'm being real gassy.
I know. I gotta piss.
Now come on, boys. Where's your spirit? I don't hear no singing when you slaves. You sang like birds. Come on, how about a good old nigger work song?
I seen that once upon a time, not long ago, there lived some kings and some queens that had sold their souls for a little bit of money, a little bit of fame. The chains and the whips, with the whips and the chains. There's no more different world, now you have the game. Say goodbye to the Cosby's, hello to House of Pain. Selling out our culture for some monetary gain. And you can switch the channel, but the image doesn't change. Where every man's a pimp, let's call it Flavor of Love. And every girl's a hoe and joins the bad girls club. There's a box we ain't outside yet. In 4 seasons, I ain't seen a real housewife yet. I don't know whether to dress you as Big Mama or maybe as Big Mammy. You teach me how to Dougie and I teach you how to Sammy. Oscar for Best Actress awarded to Tyler Perry. Ain't it scary? But TBS just love y'all niggas. BET, yeah, they love y'all niggas. VH1, you know they love y'all niggas. Cause when y'all act like niggas, they making money off you getting rich. Or Twitter love y'all niggas. Facebook, of course, they love y'all niggas. The KKK just love y'all niggas. Acting like fools, being you. The modern day coon. Back when Martin used to march, they was bitten by dogs. Now we call our women bitches and my niggas my dogs. We the cause for more fights, more than we fight for the cause. Wonder if Jesus walked with us when we rompin' the law. This verse go to my niggas who love being niggas. Idolized killers, rappers and drug dealers, sir.
I just wanna fuck every girl in the world.
It took a
serious, spreading AIDS and syphilis. Unprotected sex, but say the baby ain't mine. Laid with a dime, but child support ain't paying a dime. Never left my mama couch, but say I stay on the grind. Screaming free my nigga blank, though he committed the crime.
I smoke,
I drink,
get high,
don't think. What they playing on every radio station. The new black faces, the people with black faces.
You know they love y'all niggas. Media takeout, love y'all niggas. World star, just love y'all niggas.
Cause when y'all act like niggas, they making money off you getting richer. Cheaters love y'all niggas.
Mari Povich, yeah, he love y'all niggas.
Because y'all love being niggas. Acting like fools, being you. The modern day coon. The modern day coon. The modern day coon. The modern day coon. Coons.
I love niggas. I love niggas. The niggas are me.